And here it is right here, Micah 6:8. But to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly before your God. And so if we're doing that, no matter what area of life we, as our profession or as our giftings or talents, if we are seeking justice, if we love mercy, if we're walking humbly before God, saying, God, I'd submit to you and you, what you would have me do, then that's what he requires.
Welcome to the Right This Way podcast. We are so glad that you have joined us today. I am your host, Tim Bennett, and I am joined again by my friend, Justin Finley. And today we are going to be addressing another challenge that can cause people to think that they are not qualified to make disciples. The enemy tries to plant the seed of doubt in the mind of followers of Jesus Christ that they must be called to something else because working directly with people or speaking is not what God has called them to. We know, though, that every follower of Jesus Christ is called to make disciples, and we also know that he has created each of us uniquely. So how can we all make disciples in our own way? Well, let's find out together right this way.
So I wish sometimes when I was in high school, there's this thing that I was in high school that I wished that was a thing, and I thought was a thing when I was in high school. And we could talk about this as our kind of our last kind of hurdle that we are the last one we're going to focus on. When I was in high school, they used to talk about God has a calling on your life. God has a plan for your life.
Yeah.
God has a thing that you do. I thought the calling was like a specific task, mm-hmm. right? A specific college that he wanted me to go to, a specific
country that I wanted to be a missionary in,
a specific role in the body of Christ that I had to fulfill, right? Like a specific thing that he was gearing me up for. And I had to find signs to that specific, like, treasured thing, right? As I grew up and as I've grown in my relationship with Christ and my understanding of who Christ is in the Christian life, now I understand that when God calls us, when he asks us to live life, whatever we're doing, right? God has called us to live in certain ways and God has called us to do certain things. But that's one of the things that I think holds people back from being a disciple. And you could speak to this a little bit too, is I'm not called to be an evangelist.
Yeah.
I'm not called to be a pastor. I'm not called to be a youth pastor or a children's pastor. I'm not called to be a greeter at the front door.
I'm not called to children's ministry.
I'm not called to those things. So if I'm not called to those things, I'm not an evangelist. So I'm going to set myself on the bench of disciple making, and I'm not going to be that disciple maker, because I'm not called to that.
And I know we've already addressed this
vaguely addressed it,
but Jesus addressed everybody. Great Commission,
right.
Matthew 28:18-20. Mm-hmm. Jesus came and said, all authority in heaven's been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations. And so everybody is called to make disciples. The giftings look completely different. I always like to look at Micah 6:8. And that's where he has told you, oh man, what is good and what does the Lord require of you? I think that's the question that a lot of people ask. What does God want from me? What is the will of God for my life? Right.
Yes.
And here it is right here, Micah 6:8. But to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly before your God. And so if we're doing that, no matter what area of life we, as our profession or as our giftings or talents, if we are seeking justice, if we love mercy, if we're walking humbly before God, saying, God, I'd submit to you and you, what you would have me do, then that's what he requires.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so as far as like specific calling, like so many times, especially even me growing up in youth group, if you're called to be a missionary, that was like the highlight the last night of youth camp. You know, if you're called to be a pastor, then come on up over here. We're going to pray. If you're called to be a missionary, there's somebody out here that's called, you know, and like, I think we've gotten such to that mentality where it's the pastor's job. It's the missionary's job. I'm not comfortable going and knocking on somebody's door. And so, but we look at that, like knocking on somebody's door is the introduction to relationship,
That's right.
You know, evangelism is, and we've got the fivefold ministry. You've got apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Each of these different gifts work towards building up the body of Christ. And in fact, it says that each of those gifts are to equip the saints, which are all believers, for the work of the ministry. Mm-hmm. So apostles, people who can start churches, who are really good at organization and getting things together and encouraging people and, you know, inspiring things. You got prophets, people who can speak the words of the Lord, who love to pray and worship. And you got evangelists who are pretty much right up there. They love to see new converts, to help new people find the faith. You got pastors who love to build relationship with people, who love to care for people in their times of need. You've got teachers who love to just teach the deep things about the words of God. Each of those gifts are to build up the church so that the people, the saints, Christians can do the work of the ministry. Mm. And so with that being said, like every single person is called to discipleship. And if there's an area of your life that you're struggling, find somebody with one of those gifts and they're so that they can help you grow in that area. Yeah. You know, but if we're seeking justice, if we love mercy, if we're walking humbly, if we're wanting to learn and grow, then that's the calling that God has for our life.
Sure.
It's not that, oh, I'm going to wait until I'm called to lead a church before I start leading somebody to Jesus. Mm-hmm. You know, when we have that mentality, we're missing out on so much that God has to offer for us.
That's right. I think of the many discipleship stories or the many disciple making stories that I've heard, and the people, once you talk to them about their testimony and how they got to Jesus and, how they got to faith in Jesus and who brought them and the church and all that kind of stuff. As you start to pluck out like all the things that had to happen, there were so many people who played roles in that, but might have never talked to them. Mm-hmm. Right. The one that sticks out to me just as an example is, my dad who rode the bus, but there was somebody who drove the bus and there was somebody who knocked on the door and there were people who taught lessons at church once he got there. And there were people who sang songs with him on the bus or did puppets on the bus or whatever. But then there were also people who made snacks for the bus, for the kids that rode on the bus, somebody who fixed the bus in order for it to get going where it went. The people who gave the money to buy the bus so that mm-hmm. it could go, right?
Who started the business
to make the money to buy the bus, right? The pastor who had the vision to do that. The so many people that you can build around that thing. And it's easy for us to pluck out the one person who maybe had like the touch point, right? Or the children's leader or the small group leader or whatever it is. But there's so much that goes into that or surrounding that are playing parts in the body of Christ, who are the saints doing the work of ministry, mm-hmm. who are doing what God has called them to do as a work in the ministry. But we wouldn't in church culture necessarily say that's disciple making, right? Like yeah. we wouldn't say that's like,
yeah.
you know, we wouldn't count that person. And, you know, in our church, we have lots of roles on the team that are not seen, mm-hmm. but they make the experience that someone that they build that culture in that environment. So when someone walks in, maybe for the first time, they feel welcomed. Right. Mm-hmm. They see the stage and they see the lights on the stage and they see the different things that go into it and the different objects that draw your attention and the signs that are up on the walls that give us our focus. And
like, you sit down, and you got the cards in the back of the chair that somebody printed out. Is somebody else?
Absolutely.
Somebody else put in
like
the chairs.
All of those things go into someone feeling like what is said, what is spoken from the pulpit on Sunday, the worship songs that are sung, mm-hmm. like there's all kinds of stuff that goes into that. Like I think of people who watch a lot of services. There's a lot of people who watch services online, mm-hmm. right now because they can't get out to church. Mm-hmm. Right.
And we've even started up a small group to reach out to those people because if they can't get up and medically they're medically fragile and they can't get out of their house, mm-hmm. then we've got to go to them. And so we're even starting up a small group pretty soon where we are going to those people mm-hmm. so that we can build a relationship with them so that we can get to know them.
And there's people who put all that together mm-hmm. who are very, very mm-hmm. talented and
no paid person is doing all that.
Yeah. So all of those people are putting that stuff together and they might not ever really like specifically pour into that life, but they're investing mm-hmm. in that life. They're doing the thing that God has called them to do, to be in work in ministry. And I think that's the encouragement for the person who's listening to the podcast who doesn't really know what God has called them to do or doesn't know what work in ministry. Maybe they don't know what their giftings are, mm-hmm. right? Find a place that you can find those giftings. Find somebody that can help you figure those things out. Take some personality tests. Yeah. Find those things. Those are all practical things that you can do. Mm-hmm. But before you know that, you could still build a relationship with someone with what you're doing right now, with what you're already doing. Because God has called us to live a life that is Jesus-centered, like we talked about in the last episode. But that calling or the will of God is not some far off distant thing that we have to find directions to. And it's one specific thing somewhere. Mm-hmm. It's as we live our lives, we're living in under the umbrella of God's will for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's so many different gifts and talents and personalities, but there's always one mission for Christians. One mission for Christians, to be able to live like Christ and help others mm-hmm. follow Christ.
Yeah.
And so when, just like you had said, the will of God is not some distant thing. Even with, and my wife may have a different opinion on this. this is opinion, maybe not scriptural fact right here.
I got you.
But like, even with, when I was first, pursuing Chelsea, for marriage, we had a conversation maybe I'm just too blunt. So I'm being real and honest with y'all.
That's good.
All right.
We like it.
So, I told her, I was like, listen, I chose you. Like there was a few different girls that I was considering, but I chose you. And she got upset and was like, well, it was God that chose me for you. And I was like, I feel like God told me to choose. And so, because it wasn't like some of these other people that I knew, through work and things like that, it wasn't like that. They were bad options or they weren't right for me. Like I felt like they knew God, they loved God. They would have encouraged me in my relationship with God. The life trajectory would have gone very different. If I had chosen differently. But at the same time, I felt like God was like, listen, I've given you wisdom. I've given you choice. You can choose and based on what you want. Mm. And so I think there are definitely moments in life, even with sometimes crucial decisions, where God's like, listen, I've given you gifts and talents and desires. And you can move forward towards those things. Mm. If you've got a desire to start a business, then maybe that is what God's calling you to. If you've got a desire in your heart to go hike the Appalachian Trail, maybe that is part of what God's calling you to, you know? I don't think God has put desires in our heart. Now, it ties in a little bit with what we've talked about in previous podcasts about sacrifice. Sometimes we do have to sacrifice up our desires because sometimes our desires are not what God wants for us.
Sure.
And so I can tell about another story, a moment where I had in my mind that I wanted to be a youth pastor. Mm. And like, that's what I wanted. That's what I thought would be best for me. And it turns out it wasn't. And I was talking with somebody and I had somebody come up. I was waiting for a position to open up. For a pastoral position. I had already graduated college, was working as a preschool teacher, and I was just waiting. I was talking to people, possibly putting out my resume to a few different people so they could put it out there. And I was just waiting and was at a conference and was praying and talking to God. And somebody had spoken a word over me and was like, hey, I feel like you're going to be a spiritual father to many kids. And I was like, that was the last straw for me. I was like, God, I have known this my whole life that I'm going to be one to teach your word. I've felt that calling from a young age. When is this going to happen, God? And when are you going to give me a position as youth pastor? And God was like, what if I want you to be a teacher for the rest of your life? And that's what I felt like God spoke to my heart. I was like, what if I want you? What if you're going to be most effective to building my kingdom if I leave you as a teacher for the rest of your life? Mm. And I was like, oh man, I wrestled with God. Yeah. I had to wrestle with God in that moment. Yeah. I eventually gave up that desire to be a youth pastor. I was like, God, all right, whatever your will, whatever your way, I walk humbly. I had to humble myself in that
moment. That's
right. And then not a few weeks later, I had two opportunities open up, one to be a youth pastor, one to be a kids pastor. And immediately in my heart, I knew the kids pastor was the opportunity that I needed to pursue.
Awesome.
God immediately, both Chelsea and I, both in an agreement, the Holy Spirit quickened our hearts and was like, all right, that's the one. But I would have never gone for that position if I had had the same mentality of a youth pastor, you know, that this is what I want to do. This is what I should be doing.
Yeah.
And so I think that, there are moments where God, he gives us wisdom. He lets us choose. And there's moments where he's like, he's going to be correcting us in our spirit. And so with both of those, as far as how it relates to our calling is to follow Christ, right? Yeah. Our following is to live like him, love like him, lead like him, right? And so in each of those moments, it's going to look differently for each different situation. Mm-hmm. And so we have to keep that in mind as we are living and leading and loving like Christ does.
Yeah. Like as you're doing the thing, if God has given you gifts to start a business, like how many small business owners do we know that are great disciple makers for Christ because of the influence and the impact that they can have through their business, right? How many invest and pour into missions and pour into different things because God has called them to be a business owner and to affect the community in that way and help employees and help fulfill, like, change people's lives because they're, you know, they're now employed by them and all that kind of stuff. And so God uses those, right? Like God uses teachers to make an impact in people's lives, right? God uses every occupation, and you can't even, carpenters and plumbers and whatever it might be, that you can bring people alongside. And as long as you're walking with Christ in your life, you can take others with you in that, in that physical thing that he's gifted you or put on your heart to do or led you to do. You're following Christ in that. Make a disciple as you do that.
Yeah.
That's the calling of the Christian life is to follow that.
Yeah. 1 Peter 4:10, each of you should use whatever gifts you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in various forms. If anyone speaks, do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, do it with the strength God provides so that in all things, God may be praised through Jesus Christ. Mm. You know, it's various forms. Every single different thing can be done through the gifts that God has provided. Mm-hmm. And so that in all of things, God can be praised.
Sure.
And you've also got one of the things my mom consistently spoke over us as kids is Colossians 3:23. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as if you're working for the Lord and not for man, since you know that you'll receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. In anything that we do, we're working at it with all of our hearts. We're using our gifts as if we're serving the Lord and not other people. And so whether you are a social media manager, or a graphic designer, or you're working as an engineer building museums, you know, whatever you're doing, do it with all your heart, working hard as if you're working for the Lord, using the gifts and talents that God has provided you. And then in that, you're inviting other people into your life so that you can praise Christ through it all. So that all things, God may be glorified. When you do it well, God can be glorified through it.
That's right. Like, doesn't that change your perspective when you say I'm doing this for the Lord and not unto men? Like, it changes my perspective about my boss and what I'm going to do for him and how frustrated I am going to be at whatever my drama situation is in my life or the stressful thing that's got me down. Right. If I'm working for the Lord, well, then I've got a different goal. And and this stressful situation isn't as stressful anymore because I have something more to gain out of it than just this task that I'm doing, right? And somebody can then say, why are you happy right now? This job is awful, right? Like, you have gotten the short end of the stick so many times, but still you have a smile on your face. I don't understand how. Well, God gives me joy because I'm not working for this. Mm-hmm. I'm working for Him. And I want to make an impact with Him. So I am. I'm doing that. Mm-hmm. And so I can be joyful in this time because I have a relationship with Christ and He holds me up through these things. I've started saying just another practical thing that I've started because I used to say, hope you feel better. Hope you're doing well. Right. Like, I used to start out phrases with that, with like employees or people that I'm talking to, like, you know, if they were sick one day, you know, send them a text and say, hope you're doing well. Right. Or hope your kids are doing fine. Right. And I don't think there's anything necessarily wrong with that. I'm not trying to say that when I'm saying this, but I wanted to shift the focus more towards Christ in the conversations that I have. So I don't hope in my life. Right. I pray in my life. So I've started, you know, saying, praying that you're feeling better, right? Or praying that you have a good Christmas, or praying that you have a good New Year's, right? Praying that your trip goes well, instead of hoping, I'm praying. Because, and then I've had several people ask me, like, why are you putting praying? Like, that's weird. Well, I put my hope in Christ. And so I pray for those things.
Yeah. Because He's the only one that can change
because
things.
Because He's the one that can actually affect it. Because I believe that it doesn't matter how much I hope for something. If my hope isn't rooted and grounded in faith in Christ and Him, it's not going to work out well.
Yeah.
Right. He's the one that orchestrates all of this. So I'm praying to Him, the one that's in charge of it all, that it goes well for you.
And that's such a good example of how to disciple in your domain, disciple where you are, because you are presenting Christ, even if it's just by changing one word.
Yeah.
You're still presenting that your hope is in Christ. And when you present that, praise and glory can go to God through that. And so when we disciple in our area of specialties, again, it doesn't look like, well, I've got to grab my coworkers together and do a Bible study, even if they don't want to. It's living a life, working hard and diligently, using the gifts that God's given you and making sure and as many aspects as you can, you are presenting Christ and giving glory to Christ throughout it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That is the call. That is the call of God. That is what we're trying to do. That's how we're trying to equip people, is just kind of think of those practical examples that you could change in your life, or little tiny things that you could change that puts Christ in the conversation, puts Christ in the center, allows people to ask questions about who you are, starts conversations, to be able to help you make disciples where you are right now, today, tomorrow, next week, that will help you make more and better disciples as we move forward.
Yeah. And we want to be able to relate to people well. We don't have to replicate individual things or systems or things that we've seen. One of the things that I love to do is I love to create systems. But I also know, like, I love to learn from other people's systems.
Yeah.
And I'll incorporate it into my own. So I change it, I tweak it, I make it better.
That's right.
And so I fit it into where my life works. So with that, with discipleship, it's not going to look the same for every single person. We've said this multiple times. But when we find what works for us, when we find the areas and see the areas where we can showcase and display Jesus in our life, in our area of expertise, in our domain, then we're going to be able to engage other people in relationship from there. So obviously we've talked about it a lot extensively before, building that relationship, building the foundation of trust. And then from there, you're able, as you're displaying who Christ is, people can see that, ask questions. And then from there, you're able to form you're able to disciple people even further.
Thank you once again for joining us today. As we wrap up this episode, we want to remind you that we would love to hear from you. We want to hear your story of discipleship. Was there someone that impacted your life toward Christ? We want to know about them. You can message us on our Salt Shaker Ministries Facebook page, or go to our website, saltshakerministries.org, and click on the button that says Share Your Story. We hope that you have a great week, and we look forward to being with you again next week. Until then, make sure to follow this podcast so that you don't miss an episode, and we would be honored if you would take just a few minutes and write a review for us. That will really help to allow this podcast to grow into all that it could be. Keep walking with Jesus, and remember that a life of disciple making is right this way.